Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today is from the 21st chapter of the Gospel according to St. John. My dear friends in Christ, hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. And he shows himself to his disciples for this the third time following his resurrection. Three times. That number three always means something in the Scriptures. That number three is indicating something about God and what He's doing. Three is often the number of the Trinity. It is also the number of divine completion. Couldn't get that word out. I don't know why that word was giving me trouble. Divine completion. And so in this, we're finding from John that something's happening here for the disciples. The resurrection appearances of Jesus for his disciples have now finished. They're done. Not that he's going to stop being with them, but at this point, all his disciples are back into his fold. All of his disciples are back underneath him. All of them are going to be there. And remember, how did Jesus first call his apostles? He called them as fishers of men. And so it is no surprise, then, that we find the apostles on the Sea of Tiberias fishing. And just as it was for Peter, James, and John in the beginning, they caught nothing. But Jesus looks at them from across the shore. And I often have to wonder, is this Jesus crying out from the shore, or is this Jesus magnifying his voice to be in their ears? It doesn't really matter either way. They heard him. As we all hear Jesus, put your nets out. You got to believe for the apostles that day, they're sitting here going, oh, man, again? Got to put our nets out again? Last time we did this, it was after a long day, and Jesus made us catch all those fish, and now this one is going to do it again. Fine. We'll see how it goes. And so they cast their nets and caught so many fish, it became difficult to bring them in. I feel bad for Simon Peter. He kind of gets the shaft in the Gospel of John. John writes of the resurrection appearance with Peter that the disciple whom Jesus loved, which is how John always refers to himself. He never calls himself by name through his own Gospel. But the disciple whom Jesus loved, and Peter ran into the tomb, but the disciple whom Jesus loved got there first. It's like John was giving Peter a dig from across eternity. And so we have it again. Peter, recognizing that it was the Lord, puts on his outer garment and throws himself into the sea. I've often thought that Simon, in this way, we kind of imagine him as, you know, being stripped down. He's girded his robe around him so that really he's just out there and pulling in the fish and sweating and getting used to the sun again, because after all, he's got to go back to being a fisherman now that Jesus was dead, and maybe he's come back, but, you know, we're not really sure. And Peter here throws himself into the sea for joy. Maybe that's the case. Maybe he's putting on his outer garment and throwing himself in so that he can swim to shore faster than the boat. And you can imagine the apostle standing behind him rowing with this huge mass of fish going, oh, Peter, one more time, huh? And so Peter kind of is swimming ahead, but the boat's kind of coming behind and probably just a little bit faster because Peter is putting on his outer garment, which is always going to drag. I mean, you guys have swam in jeans and t-shirts before. You know how much of a drag that can be. Imagine something akin to this, being in the water as you're trying to swim. But I wonder, did Simon Peter, instead of for joy throw himself into the sea, did he remember the words of the Lord? That it would be better for anyone who leads one of his little ones astray to have a millstone tied around his neck and to be thrown into the sea. I wonder if Peter thought to himself, I've really messed up. I've messed the whole thing up. I denied my Lord. I've denied him to other people's face. I made it so that those people could not follow after the resurrected Lord. It is better that if it is that I die, and that I do not face him one more time. The thought of the Jews of this time was, anyone who was lost at sea could receive no resurrection. Your body, if it's in the ground, you can be resurrected, but the sea, in this way does not give up her dead. That's why in John's revelation, we actually see the seas disappearing. Not because there's no water on the new earth, but because the seas will give up her dead. There is nothing but dry ground, and all will resurrect from the dead. But Peter here, thinking there is no resurrection if I go into the sea and if I drown, of course he's putting on his overcoat. Of course he's trying to weigh himself down. Of course he's trying to sink. I think it's better for Peter in his mind to follow after the way of Judas than to face his Lord one more time and disappoint him, to cause others to lose themselves. But then you wonder, how did he get to shore? And I wonder, and again, this is all my speculation, but I like it. I wonder if Peter got caught up in the net and that his apostles truly became fishers of men, bringing him in. Peter sitting with Jesus on the seashore after eating. There's always something wonderful about eating in the scriptures, isn't there? And when it comes to Jesus, when he eats, we see images of the Lord's Supper, things for us to hold on to. In Peter's case today, and for our case as well, it is restoration to God as we eat and as we drink. But Peter is sitting here, and he has to be thinking, what is Jesus going to do with me? Jesus hasn't really talked to Peter so far at our resurrection appearances. And so Jesus looks at Peter, and he says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yeah. Yes, Lord. You know I love you. Tend my sheep. Here, the first denial of Peter is dealt with. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Tend my sheep. The second denial of Peter is dealt with. Jesus says to Simon the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And here you kind of wonder what Peter's thinking, because Peter is grieved by this saying. We know, and we should know, that Peter should be overjoyed at this point. Jesus is restoring him into the ministry. Jesus is bringing him back into the sheepfold. Jesus is doing all things to undo the sin that Peter himself has committed and those things that have resided in his heart and in his mind since that fateful night. Peter's thinking, maybe Jesus here is going to judge me finally. Maybe he's going to make a sword appear and cut me down as I took Malchus's ear and cut it off. But Jesus says, feed my sheep. The third denial of Peter has gone away. And then, of course, we have Jesus speaking to Peter and telling him by what way he's going to die. The restoration of Peter is good, but the restoration of Peter is to lead to his own death. Peter, who would be led to Rome and watch his wife be crucified first, when it came to his time to be crucified, he said, I'm not worthy of being crucified in the manner of my Lord. Crucify me upside down. He was taken to that place against his will, and yet he went. Because the restoration that we have in Jesus Christ doesn't always mean a good and happy life. It doesn't always mean a good and happy end. In fact, I'm pretty sure that most of you know that following after Jesus is sometimes very hard. And the call of Jesus can be very difficult. And you follow after Jesus, and many of you have done this your entire lives, and don't you still lose people? And don't things still go wrong in your life? Don't your finances sometimes struggle? Don't you sometimes feel like God is far from you? Don't you feel like there's conflict in your marriage or conflict in your family? Don't you feel as if things should be better, and yet they're not? I mean, after all, God loves you. You should be, well, facing joy. But joy isn't always in this life, is it? Peter was so despondent, he threw himself into the sea. Sometimes for us, it feels like that too. But Jesus looks at you and says, do you love me? And we respond, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He says, come and be fed. Jesus looks at us and says, do you love me? And we say, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Come and hear my word. Jesus says to us the third time. And sometimes we wonder, does God really love us? Why is He doing this to us? You've tried to bargain with God, haven't you? It doesn't ever work. You wonder if God is testing you, if God's going to destroy you. You don't know the purposes of God, and God looks at you and says, do you love me? And you say, yes, Lord, I love you. You know that I love you. You know that I'm trying to love you. You know that I'm trying to follow you. And Jesus says, then follow me. Follow me. And where does Jesus put himself that we might follow? But in the very place that his apostles would build, the church, where we find Jesus' word and we find his sacraments. Here we are fed. Here we are built up. Here we are given all that we need for this life and for the next. When Jesus says to us, follow him, he doesn't say it's going to be easy. When he said to Peter, follow me, he said, you're going to die. And so too will you. You will die. I can't promise your death is going to be in the middle of the night where you don't even notice it. I can't promise that it's not going to be agonizing and torturous for you or for your family. I cannot promise that your death is going to be a lot of fun. But unless the Lord comes first, you are all going to die. And that's okay. Because the Lord is preparing you for that moment even now, where death is no more a trouble to us, but a portal from this life to where Christ is. That we might wait quietly, calmly, restfully in his arms for the day of the resurrection. A day when death is no more. A day when restoration is finally completed. A day when our bodies are made the way that God would have them made. A day when the earth is made the way that God would have it made. Where sin is taken away. And we see Jesus the Lamb. The Lamb among whom the elders and the four living creatures all worship and bow down and cry out, Amen. A lamb who was slain and yet now lives. And when we follow that slain, living lamb, we find the same for ourselves. That once we were slain, not crucified for the sins of the world, but dead because of our own sin. And yet now we live, not because of our righteousness, but because of the righteousness of God that He gives to you in Jesus Christ. My dear friends, this is everything. There is nothing more, there is nothing less than this. This restoration of Peter is our restoration as well. Christ has called you home into a place where you hear his word, receive his sacraments, and find him always, that you might look joyfully toward the end when you will be raised from the dead as well. For Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.